Okay, today's daf is Yud Zayin. Oh, you got the right page straight away. Okay, so we sort of were in the middle yesterday. We had a statement of Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Ravasi, that nowadays, if a non-Jew makes kiddushin, he says to a girl, "I'm marrying you," kiddushin, then even though normally a guy doesn't have the concept of kiddushin, but we have to worry. Maybe he's from the 10 lost tribes, the Aseres HaShvatim. And we said that applies if it's in one of the cities where they were known to be. And we listed a whole lot of cities yesterday. That's where we left off. We're at the fourth line from the top, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yep. So just referring to all of those cities which we mentioned yesterday, Rabbi Yochanan says, V'chulon l'psul. All of those cities were considered psul. In other words, the people from there are considered mamzerim because Rashi points out, why does he say that they're mamzerim? Because you had the Aseres HaShvatim who lived there, but they were exiles, so they were non-Jewish girls, and they married these non-Jewish girls, or they had relations with these non-Jewish girls, and they had kids. And according to this, he's saying that the implication at this point is that if you have a Jew who marries a non-Jewish woman, then the child is a mamzer. Well, according to this, the implication is a mamzer, because otherwise we would be back to Mekablim Geirim. Yeah, but he says no, they're lepsul. So that was the discussion that came from what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Ravasi. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel." Afterwards, I went to Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda was one of those guys. He went to a few different yeshivas in his time. He was a student of Rav, and Ravasi was also a student of Rav. So he, an older student, so he got some of his things from Ravasi. And then he went, after Rav passed away, he went off to the yeshiva of Shmuel. So very often you find that he said something in the name of Rav, and then he says, "Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel." Rav taught me this. And then when I went to Shmuel and I told him what Rav said, then Shmuel often had something different to say about it. So similarly, in this case, what did Shmuel say? Amali, Shmuel said to me that Bincha haba min Yisraeli is kari Bincha. Your son, your grandson, your descendant who comes from a Jewish mother is called your son. So he's Jewish. Ve'ein Bincha haba min avezgecha v'in kari Bincha. But a child who comes from a non-Jewish woman, even if it's from your son, that means a Jewish man, a non-Jewish woman, Ella Benot, it's called her son. He's not considered Jewish. So what? So that thing about them all being that you have to be choishish for kiddushin because the Aseres HaShvatim lived there. It doesn't matter if the Aseres HaShvatim lived there. If they married non-Jewish girls, then the kids are not Jewish anyway, so therefore there's no reason to be worried about that it might be a marriage, because it might be a Jewish guy. He's not a Jewish guy because his mother wasn't Jewish. So the Gemara says, well, that's all talking about the case where it was a Jewish man who married a non-Jewish woman. What about Ha'ika Banois? What about the case where it was the other way around? You had girls in the 10 lost tribes, presumably there was girls also. And therefore they might have married a non-Jewish guy. And the kid could be Jewish. So even though the kid thinks he's a goy because his father's not Jewish, but really he's Jewish because his mother's Jewish. And therefore, if he marries, maybe it's Kiddushin. The Yomar Avina. And Avina says that we learn from this Pasuk. The Pasuk says as follows. It says, don't marry off your daughter to a non-Jew, because he will turn your son away. Who's he? He is the non-Jewish father, will turn your son away. Who's your son? It means their grandson who came from your daughter. That means that the boy's father, who's not Jewish, would turn aside the child who is Jewish. That's called bincha. Yeah. So Yosef is bincha.
Turning aside means what?
Means to lead him astray. Because the kid will be Jewish and the father will be non-Jewish. The father will bring him up not to keep Torah and mitzvahs. So therefore, you got a Jewish kid and they're going to have a father who leads him astray. Therefore, it's better not to intermarry like that. Yeah. So that's when the father is non-Jewish and the mother is Jewish. Yeah. But the other way around is not called bincha. Yeah. Ishma mino ben bitcha haba min ha'vikechavim. If one has a grandson, it means his daughter's son, where the father is not Jewish, kari bincha. he's still called your son, so he's Jewish. So therefore, why aren't we choishish that we had the girls from the Aseres HaShvatim with non-Jewish husbands, or even they were forced, whatever way you want to look at it, and there could have been children coming from them who are Jewish. So the Gemara answers, Gemiri, we have a tradition, a historical tradition, the Benosa Dahu Dara Itzturi Itzteru, that the girls in that generation, they all became infertile. They had some kind of an infirmity, a disability, and they didn't have any children. So that seems like a very extreme answer, but that's what the Gemara comes up with. And so that was one version of the whole story. Ika di Amri. Another version was that Rav Yehuda says, Kamrisa kam with Shmuel. When I mentioned this to Shmuel, Amali, he said, Letzazel Misham, Achasom, Evdikachav, and Gemurim. No, it's not true. It's not true that you're Cheshish, that these cities, people from these cities might be Jewish. They didn't move from there. In other words, they decided, the Chachamim decided, that they are definitely not Jewish. Shenemar, Bashem, Bogdu. They rebelled against Hashem. Kibonim zorim yoldu, because they gave birth to non-Jewish children. So therefore, you don't have to be chayshish if someone is a goy that he might somehow be Jewish from the 10 lost tribes or whatever. It's not the case. And that was Shmuel. Okay, Yosef Rav Yosef Acherid Rav Kahana. Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rav Kahana. The Yosef Rav Kahana came with Rav Yehuda, and Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda was the teacher, Rav Kahana was at the front row, and Rav Yosef was sitting in a back row somewhere. The Yosef Ka'amar. And Rav Kahana was saying, Asid in Yisrael, the of the Yema Tova, Ki Charvi Tarmut, that the Jews will make a holiday when the city of Tarmud gets destroyed. So it must be, why? So Rashi says, because they're mamzerim, and because they're mamzerim and they marry in, they make more mamzerim, and they get everybody all mixed up and confused. They don't know, no one knows who's a mamzer and who's not. And therefore, when that city will be destroyed, everybody will make a big yontif. What do you mean they will do it? It already was destroyed. Why don't they make, we should already have a yontif. So he says that wasn't Tarmud, hahi Tomud Havai. That's Tomud without a resh. It's a different place. Rav Ashi Amar, no, Hainu Tarmud and Hainu Tomud. It's the same place, but we don't make a yomtiv because it hasn't been completely destroyed. Because Achpulihu Demichbul, because it rebuilds itself, it doubles up, literally. Chariv Mehagisa, Itzim Mehagisa. One part of the city got destroyed. So everybody moved it to the other city part, and they built a block of flats, and they ended up making that double. If the other side got destroyed, they built up this side. So it never was completely destroyed at one time. So therefore, that's why it says it's in the future. Yosef Rav Amnuna came to Ula. Rav Amnuna was sitting before Ula, and he was asking questions. So Ula said about Rav Amnuna, Ma Gavra, Ma Gavra, Gavro Magouvre, he loved the Hurfani Masa. What? This guy would have been such a great man if he didn't come from such a rotten place called Hurfana. In Hurfana, Rashi says, Enem Yichasim. There's doubts about their Yichus. There's question marks over their lineage in that place where Rav Hamnuna comes from. So he might be a smart guy and he'd be considered a great person because of his learning. But he comes from that place, so we have some question marks over him. Is Ichsif. So Rav Amnuna got embarrassed that he was sort of kind of insulted by Ula, saying that, you know, he might not be legitimate, whatever. Is Zamalei. So Ula then thought, uh-oh, maybe I've insulted him. So he thought, maybe I can find a loophole. So he asked Rav Amnuna, Kesef kul galta lahecha yahavta. Where do you pay your head tax? Kesef kul galta means literally the money for a skull. They had to pay what was a head tax per person. They had to pay a tax. He said, where do you put it? Where do you pay rates? Which council are you paying your rates to? Zamalei the Fulnara. He says, I'm in Fulnara Council. I'm not in, what was the other one? Harpunia Council. Zamalei, he says, you're not in, you're on the other side of the street. You're not in Harpunia then, you're in Kame, Pumnara. If you're in Pumnara Council, then we won't insult your yichus, and we'll say, oh, you're okay. Now, my Harpanya, why was the city of Harpanya, or the council of Harpanya, called Harpanya? It's a funny name. Amar Abzera, Har Shahakol Poinimboy. It's the mountain that everybody goes to. Anybody who can't find a shidduch because they are a mamzer, or they are illegitimate, or they don't know where they come from, or whatever, that's where they go. That's the melting pot for, as my Zayda used to say, is a meeting place for all lady gayers. That's where they would all go. Anyone who doesn't know what family he comes from, he doesn't know what tribe he comes from, is nifna l'sham, he goes over there, because that's where all the people who are in a similar boat go, and therefore they can find a wife. It is deeper than hell. Down there in Harpunya, it's lower than hell. Shenemar, because it says about hell, about Gehenim, Meyad She'ol Eftem. God says that will come a time when I will redeem people out of Gehenim. Gehenim is not forever. So a person goes to Gehenim, but he can come out of it. And Mimavis Egolem, I will redeem them from death. So therefore, even a person who's in Gehenim, he's got a hope to get out of there. Ve'ilu psul didhu, but these guys who are mamzerim, less lutakanta, they can never get out of there. So it's even worse than being in Gehenna.
See, if they went to a place like that, Rupanya, you get married because it was a melting pot. Who says the marriages would be legitimate and legal? Well, the children.
They would hope for the best, but the children wouldn't be legitimate either. So it just keeps propagating itself. Yeah. That's what we're saying. There's no way out. It's even worse than Gehenna. Now the Gemara says, how did it happen that Harpanya got so full of illegitimate people? Pesuli de Harpanya Meshum Pesuli de Meshum. They got that way because it's nearby to a place called Meshum. And Meshum was a place, as the Gemara says, in Kiddushin, which was full of people who were illegitimate.
But how come they all went to that place?
Oh, Pesuli de Meshum. How did the people of Meshum all end up that way? Meshum Pesuli de Talmud, because the people from Talmud went there and corrupted it. Psula de Talmud, where did they come from? We said that yesterday, Mishum Avda Shloima. They were the ones where the servants of Shloima took these non-Jewish girls. The Haina de Amri Inchi. And that's what people say, Kaba Rabba, the Kaba Zuta, Mingande va'ozel l'shoel. Whether they are, literally it means a big measure, a small measure, they're messed up. And they roll, the Minganda, they roll, the Ozul Israel, and they roll into Gehenim. Yeah, in other words, when things go bad, a person is in hell. However, that's not the lowest you can get. That's what he's saying here. Mishael, the Talmud. From hell, he can roll down further into Talmud. And with Talmud, the Meshon, and Meshon, the Harpanya. Harpanya is the pit. Yeah, so there you go. If you want to know the hierarchy, the geography of.
Somebody telling you to go to hell,
go to Harpunya. That's right, that's worse. There you go, now you've got a new thing to say to people. Okay, Hajjal Lachamez Finoshin, that's the end of the first perek. Now we come to the second perek. Says the Mishnah, so all of the relations that we mentioned in the Mishnah, a person's daughter and sister and this and that, so they were all things that people understand. What's a daughter, what's a sister? What's the pshat? So we already had a little bit of a head start in some of the Gemara when we talked about the case of a brother who did not live at the same time as his brother who was married to the woman. Yeah. So the Mishnah now goes to elaborate. You have two brothers. So Reuven died with a wife, with no children. And then Levi was born. I mean, Levi was born after Reuven was already dead. Then Shimon went and did Yibum, as he could. Shimon was alive with Reuven. Shimon goes and does Yibum with Reuven's wife, Umeis. And then Shimon died as well. So now this girl comes to Levi. So that first one that was married to Reuven is not applicable for Yibum to Levi, because it was Eishes Achiv Shloihaya Baylamoi. Because once upon a time she was the wife of Reuven, Yeah, and Reuven died before Levi was born, so it was the wife of his brother who wasn't in the same world as him, literally. Yeah, they never lived at the same time. Therefore, even though now she married Shimon, and Levi did live it together with Shimon, but then Shimon died, she is still out of Yibum because of the first time around. Yeah, once gone, always gone. Yeah. So therefore, she's out. And the Shnia Mishum Tzarasa. Then, even if Shimon had other wives, she's now the Tzara of Eishes Achiv Shleihoyu Bo'lamoy. So she's also out of the picture. What about Asa B'Maimer V'Meis? What happens if Shimon did Maimer? So we talked about before, the Chachamim were Misakin, even though Yibum is normally just straight to cohabitation. But the Chachamim said, let's make a step of marriage of Kiddushin, like normal, to make it a, you know, to make it look more like a normal marriage. You have chuppah v'kiddushin, whatever. So that's called maimer. So min ha-toira, that does not achieve anything. Midrabanon, it means that Shimon's married to her. So if Shimon did kiddushin with her, so then he died. So now min ha-toira, she wasn't married to Shimon. And therefore, her co-wife is not a co-wife, and Levi could do yibum. But midrabanon, she was married to Shimon. She was an erva because of Eishes Achiv Shleihoyu Bo'lamoy, and therefore the other one is a tzara serva. So therefore, min ha-toira there should be yibum, but midrabanon there cannot be yibum. So in all cases like that, we say shniya chiletus lemisya bemis. Yeah, she needs to do chalitza to marry someone else because min ha-toira she's obligated in yibum, but midrabanon we don't let her do yibum. So lemisya bemis. So that's a normal case of the rabbanon dika situation. Okay, that's the Mishnah. 15 seconds. Okay, so we just started the Mishnah in the second parak. Just explain what's the pshat. Eishes Achiv Shleihoyu Bo'lamoy. So Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven died, and after Reuven died, Levi was born. Then Shimon does Yibum with Reuven's wife, and then later Shimon died. So Levi cannot do Yibum with that woman who used to be married to Reuven, and also not to the Tzara. That's basically the pshat. Okay. Says the Gemara. So the expression the Mishnah used.
He said something to Rabbanon.
Yeah, so the last bit of the Mishnah was that if Shimon did Maimer, so he didn't do proper Yibum, so it's like a Yibum mid Rabbanon, if you like. And therefore there's Chalitza, but no Yibum. Chalitza because Min HaTorah, she's still Mechuyiv, but no Yibum because mid Rabbanon, it's a Tzara server. The Gemara will discuss in more detail. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman. So the expression the Mishnah was that when Shimon died, Harishayna Yetzu Mishum Eishes Achiv Shleihoyu Bo'lamoy Vashniya Mishum Tzarasa. So who's Rishayna and who's Shniya over here? So Manda says Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Nachman, Manda Tani Rishayna. So if you assume that Rishayna means the first one was the one who was married to Reuven originally, if you call her Rishayna, it's Lo Mishtabish. That's not a mistake. That makes sense that she would be the Rishayna. But if you swapped it around and called her the second wife, that wouldn't be a mistake either. What do I mean by that? Turn the page. So if you called her the first wife, it's not a mistake. Because my Rishayna, why do I call her the first one? Rishayna Linafila. She was the first one who had Yibum. She fell. She became in a state where she needed to have Yibum first because she used to be married to Reuven. When Reuven died, she was coming for Yibum, and then she Yibumed with Shimon, and then Shimon died, so she was the first one because she already had a go at Yibum, and the second one didn't, so she's the first one. So you could call her first one, so Rishona could refer to who? To her. Manda Tani Shniya, if we call her the second one, it's also Lemishtabri, so that means they must have had a girs in the Mishnah that she was called the second one. So why would you call her the second one? My Shniya, Shniya Lenisuin. She's the second one to marry Shimon. The assumption being that Shimon was married to his other wife already. And then when Reuven died, Shimon married Reuven's wife. So therefore, she is the second wife of Shimon. So the Gemara says, how can you call her the second wife of Shimon? Who told you that Shimon married the other one first? Could just as easily be that Shimon did Yibum with Reuven's wife first, and sometime later he married another wife. Can't it be that he did Yibum first with Reuven's wife and then married someone else? So how can you make a blanket statement that Reuven's wife was the second one? She could have easily been the first one. Why would you call the second? Ella, my Shniya, Shniya ben Isuin. Why is she called the second one, that she's the second, she's marrying for the second time. It's a bit funny because she's not really the second one, it's her husband is the second one. She was married to Reuven, and then she married Shimon, so we call her the second one.
Yeah, it is her second one.
It's her second one, but she is not the second one. If you call her Shnia, that implies that she's somebody's second wife. If she has married for the second time, then calling her Shnia is a bit weird. But anyway, that's the way he learns. So that could be... Okay, so that's just wordage. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss the actual halachas. So we said, Eishes Achiv Shlai Hayu by Lamoi is, there cannot be Yibum. So the Gemara asks, Eishes Achiv Shlai Hayu by Lamoi, Heichak Siva, where do we see that in the Torah, that there cannot be Yibum? In this case, where Levi was born after Reuven died, he can't do Yibum with Reuven's former wife. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Omar Krat, the Pasuk says, when it introduces the concept of Yibum, Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachdov, when brothers will live together. Yeah? So they have to live together. There has to have been a point in time when they were both living together at the same time. To exclude the case of when the brother was born after the other brother was died, they never lived yachtov. By the time Levi was born, Reuben was dead. So there's no yachtov going on here. So therefore, there's no Yibum in that case. Okay, so that's number one. Ki yeshu achim. So he says like this. I have to be careful what I'm saying here. So he learned that from the yeshu achim bit, not from the yachtov bit. I made a mistake. Yeshu achim. There has to be a yeshiva achas po'ilam. He's medayik from the word yeshiva, that they sit together, that Reuven and Levi had a chance to sit together, and if not, there's no yibum. Then what does he learn from the word yachtov? Yachtov tells you, miyuchadim benachala, that they are together for inheritance, that they would inherit together, or they would inherit each other. They are joined by inheritance. Yeah, so that means that they would inherit each other. What's that telling you? Prat la'achiv min ha'aim. It excludes a case of a brother from the mother's side because they don't inherit each other because the mother will be married to a different father or was married to a different father, and therefore it's the brothers on that side who inherit from the father's line. So nachala goes through brotherhood on the father's side, and therefore the yachtov is excluding the fact that there's no yibum. Yeah, even if you have two brothers, but they're only brothers with a common mother, but different fathers, there's no yibum. Okay, so that's what we learn from that pasuk. Rabba Omar, I don't need to have the word yachtov to teach me that, because achin min ha'av, the fact that they're brothers who want to do yibum or who are involved in yibum is only if they're brothers with the same father. Yalif achva achva mi b'nei Yaakov. I learn gzeres shava. It says over here, Yeshu achim yachtov, and the b'nei Yaakov, when they went down to Egypt and they met Yosef and they stood in front of him and he was giving them a hard time, what did they say to him? Shnei masar achim anachnu b'nei avinu. Yeah, so they call themselves achim. So it's gzeres shava. Ma lahalon min ha'av. Just like with b'nei Yaakov, they had different mothers, but all the same father, and therefore they called themselves Achim, and the Lomina Aim, but not necessarily the mother. It's irrelevant whether they had the same mother or not. There's Afkar, similarly by Yibum, it's Min Ha'av. We're talking about brothers from the same father, the Lomina Aim, but not with the not necessarily the same mother. Freder Gemara, you're going to learn from Xer Shava, who tells you to learn from B'nai Yaakov, B'leilif Achva Achva Me'aroyas. Why don't you learn out from Aroyas, where it says Ervas Eishas Achicha, for example. Yeah, there it says Achicha, and the Gemara is going to learn later on that Achicha actually means on the mother's side. Yeah, so therefore, who tells you to choose one of the example of Achim, which is only the father's side? Choose this Achicha, which is the mother's side. So the Gemara says, because there is a different word. There it's Achicha. Here it's Achim, which is exactly the same. Achim, Achim. And by Arayis, it says Achicha, so it's not exactly the same. It's close, but not exactly the same. And therefore, Don in Achim Me Achim, we'll learn Xeris Shava, where it says Achim, from another place where it says Achim, i.e. B'nei Yaakov, Ve'ein Donim Achim Me Achicha. We won't learn Gzeirah Shavah of the word Achim that it says by Yibum from the word Achicha that it says by Arayas. Frederick Gemara, why not? My nafkemina. What do I care if it's Achim, Achicha? Close enough is good enough. Hatana de Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Shmuel learned in the famous case in Hilchis Mitzoira, when you have a house that has Taras, so it says that the Koyin comes, has a look, he locks it up for a week and comes back again. And then it says Veshavaka, and he comes back on the seventh day. And it says Uboha Koyin, and the Koyin came, that was on the first time around. So it uses two different expressions, Shav and Ba. One means he came, one means he came back. Yeah? And Rabbi Shmuel says, Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia. That it's the same thing. Coming and coming back is Lapoyal. He's doing the same thing, even though it's two different words. We learn Gzeira Shava, and therefore we say, just like it's, the Torah says Mefurish, that when he comes back, what does he do? He pulls the bricks out, and he puts new bricks in, and he smears it up, and he leaves it for a week. So that's what he does also on the first time. But it was didn't say Mefurish. So we're learning Gzeira Shava from the word Vishav to the word Uba, even though they're not the same word, but they mean kind of the same thing. So why not learn from Achicha to Achim? It's close enough.
It's, in the same,
it's even better. It's better than Shav and Ba. It's the same word, just with your brother or just brothers. Yeah. Shav and Ba.
But it's on different cases, totally different things. This is the same.
No, but what he's pointing out is, oh, you're saying Shav and Ba are the same. And this is different.
It's a continuation.
Yeah, but Gzeirah Shava doesn't have to be like that.
It does,
but the point that he's making is that Shav and Ba, even though they're two different words, you're still
talking
on Shabbat. They mean the same thing.
Yeah,
he gives a different answer. I hear what you're saying, but he gives a different answer. He said, Hani Mili, when can we say Shav and Ba is the same thing and we can learn Gzeirah Shava? Hecha Deleka Mili Damila. If you're nothing better, if that's as close as you can find, then you can do Gzeirah Shava Azoi. Aval Hecha Deika Mili Damila. But if you have a choice of Gzeirah Shava where the word is exactly the same or where it's only approximately the same, is midadamila yafino, and then you have to choose the one where it's exactly the same. So achim to achicha would have been okay, but only if there was no other choice. But if you have achim and achim mamish, then you learn from achim mamish, and there it's, it says achim by Ibn Yaakov that they were from the father's side. Okay, Fredig Amar Avaiter. Okay, you want to find an achim itself. We have another example of the word achim, which will also mean something slightly different. Fredig Amar, the leilif achva achva mi loit. What about the case of loit? What did loit say in next week's parsha to Avram? Yeah, tichsi, that we shouldn't fight, the shepherds were fighting each other. And loit says to Avraham, there should not be, let's not have a fight. Al nasehi mariva beni uveinecha, ki anoshim achim anachna. Because we are brothers, and he uses the word achim, precisely achim. So maybe ki yeshu achti means, and Lot was his nephew. Maybe Yibum applies to your nephew's wife, or to your uncle's wife, because he says Avram is his ach. Maybe that's what Yibum is. Who says his brothers altogether? Maybe it's uncles. So the Gemara says, hang on a sec. Mistavra mibnei Yaakov havel lemelef. It's more logical to learn it out, comparing it to bnei Yaakov, mishum demifni. Not because it's logical, but because the word achim there is completely superfluous. If you want to learn a limud, it's much better if you can find the word being completely superfluous. Because if the word is not superfluous, it's just the word that's used, but the word is needed, then you can argue that, you can ask questions on it, you can obschlag. But if it's a completely extra word, then you say, why did the Torah put in a completely extra word in there to teach you something? So therefore you learn it. So with the word achim, and it says by Bnei Yaakov, is completely superfluous. They didn't have to say achim when they were standing in front of Yosef. They could have said, we are the 12 sons of our father. They didn't have to say, we are brothers, the sons of our father. Uksiv achim. But they said, brothers. Ishma minon lafnuye. Therefore, it's there to be extra, and because
it's really
extra, because it's extra over there, therefore we
by
learn.
Saying it's easier just to say we're brothers, not them, the sons of our father.
But they did say anyway, the sons of our father.
That's right.
They said Bnei Avinu anyway.
Said that.
But they did.
I know they did.
So once they said Bnei Avinu, then the achim is superfluous. By Lloyd, he couldn't have said anything. He wanted to point out that we're related. He couldn't have just said, ki anoshim anachnu, we are men, because that wouldn't point out what is.
Why did they go into all that detail? Anyway?
Why? Because they were trying to convince Yosef not to get them in trouble. So they were trying to give them a whole sub-story. Says the Gemara, Vaitav Yitzchik Lemichtav Achim, Yitzchik Lemichtav Yachtav. So we had Rabbah who learned Gzeir Shava from Achim, and we had Rav who learned from the word Yachtav. And the Gemara says, you know what? We need both. Yitzchik Lemichtav Achim, Yitzchik Lemichtav Yachtav. The Ikas Rachmana Achim, if it only said Achim, Havamina Nelef Achva Achim Miloit. I would have, even though we gave an answer about it's superfluous, but I still might have had a thought to learn from Achim from Loit, that it should apply to the uncle. And therefore we need both. Ah, you'll tell me by Loit, why would I learn from Loit? Ah, you tell me I can't learn from Loit, because with Loit it's not superfluous, and with Bnei Yaakov it is. I can make up an excuse that even by Loit it's also superfluous, even though I just said you can, because he couldn't have just said we are men. But he could have used a different word. Yes, it is superfluous, or it's at least spare. He could have said, Anashim Reim Anachnu. Uksiv Achim, why did he choose to use the word Achim? They weren't even brothers, it was an uncle and a nephew. And he says brothers, why did he use the word brothers? Shma min Allah Afnuye. So therefore, it may be that why did Loit choose to use the word Achim? Because Loit was saying that, well, the Torah puts in the word. Could argue that it was just that's what Loit happened to say, but anyway, why did Loit say Achim when they weren't brothers? Because to learn Gzeir Shava to Yibum. So therefore, Kasa, you would have thought that Yibum applies to the uncle's wife. Kasa Rachmana Yachtav Am Yichadim Benachla. It has to be those who inherit each other, and Yichadim Benachla here he says means not that they inherit each other, but they both inherit together one dead guy. So two brothers both inherit together from their father. An uncle and a nephew never inherit together the same inheritance. Yeah. So that's why we needed to say Achim. So that's why we needed to say Yachtov, to tell you that they have to be two brothers. If we only had Yachtov, you might think that they need to have the same father and the same mother. Because Yachtov means they're together, they're so together in their family, the same father, the same mother. Therefore, we need to learn from Bnei Yaakov that the same father counts even though it's a different mother. Freddy Gemara, why would you think that you need to have the same mother? Where would you get such an idea from? Yibum benachla tala rachmana. The whole parsha of Yibum there talks about the idea of inheritance. So it's talking there about that he's going to inherit. The concept there is to do with inheritance, that he's going to inherit instead of the brother. And we know that inheritance comes from the father, because the Torah tells you in Parshas Pinchas. So the Gemara answers, Yitzchak, you still need it. You might have thought, the whole concept of Yibum is a brand new Chirush. The Kamistri Erva Gabay, that we're allowing him to marry his brother's wife, who was normally an Erva, a forbidden relationship. As Amy, you might think that the Torah wants to make very stringent rules for when you can do this. You might think that the Torah makes an exception, allows you to marry your brother's wife. It's only in very narrow circumstances where both the father and the mother are common. Therefore, we need to learn from Bnei Yaakov that it's not true. It's only the brother. It's only the common father that matters. Okay. Full stop. That's the end of Eshtachos Lehoi by Lomai. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, Shemeres Yovim Shemesa. If Shimon was about to do Yibum with Reuven's wife, and then she died, so that's it, there's no more Yibum.
Say it again.
Reuven died, Shimon was about to do Yibum, but she died. Is Mutar Be'ima. Shimon's allowed to marry her mother. It's not considered her mother-in-law, because he never actually married her. So it's not his mother-in-law.
It's his brother's mother.
It's his brother's mother. Alma Kasavar Ein Zika. So that means he holds there is no concept of Zika. Zika means attachment. There's no concept here that he was attached to her, and therefore the mother is his mother-in-law. Freddy Gemara, if that's the case, we know there's an argument about whether there's a considered an attachment or not, whether a Zika means anything or not. As Valema, why doesn't he just say, Allah, Ein Zika? Why does he have to give an example and talk about the mother-in-law, potential mother-in-law? Why doesn't he just say, I hold like the one who says Ein Zika? It says the Gemara, if he would have said that, I would have thought, Hani Mili Mitrei. What's the normal, the machlokes of Zika is when there are two brothers, yeah, and one does, one, so one of them has to do Yibum, But meanwhile, before he had a chance, someone else jumped in and Makadosh her sister. Yeah. So if we'll say there's Zika, that means it's a choysku kosoi, and he's not allowed to keep her. Yeah. But if there's no Zika, then it's not a choysku kosoi, and he can keep his wife. Yeah. So that's where the machoikis originates from, whether there's Zika or not. So you would have thought that that machoik is only when there's trey. When we say there's no connection, so you have Levi, you have Reuven died, and there's Shimon and Levi. Shimon married the sister of the Reuven's wife, and Levi can go into Yibum with Reuven's wife. Yeah. So you would have thought, why do we let Shimon get away with marrying the sister of the Yivama? Because there's two. Because he can say, well, Levi's going to marry her, so she's not my zakuka. She's nothing to do with me. Avu Bechar, but if there's only one brother, so then there's no other brother that he can dump it off on and say, well, let him do Yibum, I'm nothing to do with it. Therefore, maybe Yesh Zika. Maybe there should be considered a connection, and therefore her mother would be considered his mother-in-law by Zika. So therefore he has to say, Beforish in this case. So then the question is, Lema halacha divrei ha'emer ein Zika filu Bechar? Why doesn't he just say, the halacha is like the one who says ein Zika, even when there's only one brother? So he says, if he said that, you might have thought that even if she's still alive, this Yavama, she didn't die, you would think that he can go and marry her mother. It's only when she died, but not when she's alive. Because he can't, what would happen if he would go and marry her mother? Then he couldn't marry her, because it would be his daughter.
Wife's daughter, yeah.
Yeah. So he couldn't do Yibum. So what if he thinks, I don't like this little girl. You know what, I'm going to quickly go and marry the mother, and then I won't have to worry about her. Yeah. So we say, you're not allowed to do that. You don't want to vatel that by sneakily marrying an erva of the Yavama to get out of having to do Yibum. All right, I think we'll have to leave it over here because it's 7:30. So we'll continue tomorrow from